thank you all for the beautiful songs tonight. I enjoyed that special, and it's always a joy to watch the children. They enjoy singing, and sometimes they enjoy just being able to be up here. And I know it's a chore just to get them to stand here. You got to start somewhere, right? That's the way it is. It is good discipline for them, and training is the way you got to look at it. And tell you what, they can learn a lot more being right here with us than it could be back there coloring a book somewhere, just even watching a video. I believe that. And I'm thankful they're here, part of our worship service. You have your Bibles. I invite you to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. Start Luke chapter 2. I don't know why I said 12. Luke 2. This morning I'm preaching on the significance of Bethlehem. I'm going to preach on the significance of the shepherds tonight. Just kind of as a follow-up with that. But the Gospel of Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Start reading, if you would, with me at verse number 8. Luke 2, verse number 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God once again this evening. And I pray that you would use this message not only to encourage and to maybe the thrill and the wonder of His birth has disappeared through the difficulties and just the busyness and the cares of this world, but may we be enamored this time of year of His coming, the sending of Your Son, and His willingness to come, and Lord, just the great eternal plan that You set in order that we might be saved. And Father, we pray for those that may be here, they're lost, that don't know. I pray today as they receive the news of who Jesus is and the wonder of this night, I pray that they would respond by obedience and come by faith. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The significance of the shepherds. Now, when I think of the shepherds, I definitely don't think of individuals that were seeking notoriety. I don't think of individuals that were craving attention. I don't see people who, as they said, John the Baptist, that he wouldn't have any gay clothing, and he wasn't a reed shaking in the wind, and he wasn't dressed like somebody for a king's court. You don't have that mind. You have an image of somebody who is out in the field, someone who is willing to labor and work with their hands, get dirty, get smelly, and get the job done and care for the animals that is placed in their charge. Now, I see a picture of humility when I think of the shepherds, honestly, when I look within the context of Scriptures. Now, not many celebrities, not many politicians, not many rich people, not many people that we would deem as intellectuals in this world recognize their spiritual poverty and embrace the gospel message. They think they're self-sufficient. They think they know enough. In fact, the message to them is something that they scorn. It seems to be something foolish. And you say, are you sure about that? It's what 1 Corinthians says. 1 Corinthians says in chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what? It's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And he says several more things along that line. But look on down to verse 26 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, that's the lowborn things of this world, that which are despised, has God chosen, yea, the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. Well, what's the purpose in this? That no flesh should glory in His presence. You see, nobody's going to be thinking in heaven and glorifying of all that they've done, all they've accomplished, and that they're there because of their own wisdom, their own ingenuity, their own abilities, and the things that they accomplished. They'll not glory in that. But of Him are ye in Christ, who hath made us into wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So it's not these folks that think they're high and mighty. Not these folks. It's a rarity that they come from these fashion. But it's the people who recognize their own need. The people who recognize their own depravity. People who is not so proud, that has enough humility to recognize their spiritual poverty. It's these people that embrace the gospel message. And so it's kind of like those who discover the hidden treasure. We're told in the parable of the kingdoms that is willing to sell all to purchase the field that they might have that treasure. It's like the merchant who finds the pearl of great price. He gets rid of everything. Why? Because he sees the value of the pearl. Let me just tell you something. Those that have come into the very presence and see who Jesus Christ is, seeing what He offers and what they have to give, is willing to give everything. They want it. Now, you don't buy your way into salvation. That's not what it's teaching. But you see the value of who He is. And may I say to you, we need to see the value of who He is. And so on this night, who did the Lord reveal these things to? People who wouldn't see the value? People who wouldn't understand the greatness and the vastness of what took place? Let me just tell you something. When Christ was born, this revelation and invitation, it didn't go out to the emperors. It didn't go out to the kings. It didn't go out to the world leaders. It didn't go out to those who were influential and people who were high born. And what's interesting is, we have no idea who these men were. It's not recorded. Their names are not given. It didn't go out to the priests. It didn't go out to the scholars. It was given to lowly shepherds. Let me say something about these men. They were considered to be those who were low-born in society. They were not educated to do the job that they were doing. In fact, they probably had some of the most least significant in the estimation of the upper class of that day. They had the least significant job. They were dirty. They were known for lacking proper etiquette in the right circumstances and formal situations. They smelled of sweat. They had a smell of outdoors and animals about them. They were notorious, that we read that shepherds were, that apparently they had bad language. You wouldn't want your children around these common laborers, we might say. They were considered sinners. Now, I don't know if it was just because of their language and their unkept ways, but some people believe, as I've been reading, it was because of the Pharisees' extra-biblical ceremonial rules that there was no way these shepherds could keep in the field. They couldn't wash their hands a certain way and let the water run off. They were busy taking care of animals. It probably wasn't that they were so vile and so vulgar as the Pharisees made them out to be, and as the Orthodox and the Jewish leaders made them appear, and as they would think, but they didn't keep their little rules. Therefore, they deemed them as unfit. And by the way, no credible Jewish historian would have purposely cast shepherds as the primary characters of those who would come first to the birth of the Messiah here on earth. No credible Jewish historian would have done that. Why? Because it would have been dismissed. They said, no, God wouldn't do that. He would have went here. He would have chose this. This is ridiculous. But aren't you glad that God's not interested in how famous you are? Aren't you glad God's not interested in how important you are? See, it goes back to this very thing. Who would appreciate the value of this hidden treasure? Who would appreciate the value of this pearl of great price? And I want you to see this. Who could appreciate the birth of a lamb like a shepherd? Who could ascertain its value? Who could appraise its uniqueness better than a shepherd? Nobody could. And you see, it was on this night. He wasn't just, we look at him as the Savior. I want you to understand, he was the Lamb of God. We see the revelation of his birth in verses 8 through 11. The Bible tells us the shepherds were about doing what shepherds do, tending their flock, and they were keeping them, watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. These people that claim the Lord spoke to them, and they talked to God like me and Brother Paul having a conversation about Kentucky basketball, they're nuts. They're nuts. And people start that way, I think you don't know the glory of God. These men were I doubt that they were scared of a whole lot, but they were scared on this night. And this revelation comes to them and tells them that the Savior is born this day in the city of David. A Savior which is born, or which is Christ the Lord. He's born, the Messiah, the one that is to come to pay our sin penalty. He is born. Now, it probably wasn't what they expected. Maybe they were expecting something grand, something spectacular. And here he's born in Bethlehem. That was a little strange because Jerusalem, maybe somewhere else, but Bethlehem? Well, how in the world? This didn't make sense. But what we find is what they saw when they got there, and the Bible tells us in verse 12 through 16, they had this invitation to his birth. Now you see the revelation of his birth, but notice this invitation to his birth. The Bible tells us, and this shall be a sign unto you. So I want you to go and I want you to see. And this shall be the sign. What is the sign? Well, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Not a crib. Not in a castle. Not in the big house on the hill, but in a manger. Now they're thinking stall. Now this has to be unique. You'll find this babe lying in a manger. The Bible tells us that there was suddenly within the sky host of heavenly hosts praising God. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Here's what they saw. They saw when they arrived, they see a helpless babe in a manger. They see that. Not only that, they see humility and they get there. Why? Because he's helpless because, number one, he's a babe. You see his humility in that he is in a manger. He's not in some great house. He's not in some place of importance, not in some place of significance in their mind, but they see his helplessness, they see his humility. But here's what they know. There's a lot of people who are perhaps Bible scholars that could have told them a lot of information. But here's some things that they did know, and what they did know better than anybody out there is the quality of lambs. You see, I want you to understand that here in this shepherd's field is where they raised lambs that would be used in the temple sacrifices. Not only would they be used in the temple sacrifices, but primarily for the Passover. The Passover. Now, why is this significant? Well, I want you to look in Exodus chapter 12, because I want you to see this tonight. Exodus chapter 12. Turn with me to the Word of God and gaze upon it. Exodus chapter number 12. the Bible, and this there's a lot of good stuff here. Beginning to come up out of Egypt last night. And God says, listen, you're getting ready to come up out of Egypt, Moses. And this month shall be to you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. This is marking a new beginning. This is brand new. Nothing like this ever. So I want you to speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers. A lamb for a house. A lamb. Notice this whole thing is about a lamb. The Bible tells us that if the household's too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Perhaps you didn't have three Hardwick boys in your home that could eat the lamb, right? So what you find is you found another smaller family that could consume the lamb, that would eat the lamb. And the number of souls, every man according to his eating shall make account for your lamb. But your lamb shall be without blemish. A male the first year, and you shall take it. Now I want you to note starting verse 5 through verse number 11 and verse 10. All through verse 11. That it refers to it, over and over again. You shall take your lamb without blemish, a male the first year, and you shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and up on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh. And that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it again raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. Because why? Fire is symbolic of judgment. His head, his legs, and the fruitness thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it. And your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. It again. Is always referred to what? As a single lamb. There would be thousands of lambs that were going to be slain, but not one time does he refer to the lambs. Not one time. Not one time he says, these lambs shall ye kill. No, not one time. He didn't say, all the lambs. He doesn't do that. You see, why is that? It was a single lamb. He didn't say, take them. No, it's it. It is a single lamb. Why is that? Because, you see, it was a picture of one who was to come. The Lamb of God. I'll say more about that here in a minute. And you know what these shepherds come? Guess what? Here's what they knew. They knew lambs. And when they saw it, they knew that was it. You get a hold of that, you might run around the building. Think about it. They knew it was it. That's the lamb. They raised these things. Not only do you find that it was a single lamb, it was a shared lamb. The Bible tells us in verse number 4, if the household be too little for lamb. Now the household may be too little for lamb, but the lamb's never been too little for the household. And you say, what are we doing? I want you to understand, the Lamb of God is not only enough for your home and your household, it's enough for your neighbors too. Amen. And we ought to share it. We ought to share Him. Not only is it a shared lamb, it was to be a special lamb. How's it to be special? Well, notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. Verse number 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it till the 14th day. They were to observe it for 14 days, or for 4 more days. Why is that? To make sure there was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing sick, no problem with this lamb. And it could have no blemish. Why is that? Because you see, this was a special lamb, because it was a picture of the Lamb of God who was sinless, who was perfect, that there was nothing wrong within Him. And not only was it a special lamb, the Bible tells us it was a slain lamb. Well, the Bible tells us that not only you take this lamb without blemish and without spot and keep it and observe it, the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it. The whole, everybody is going to have responsibility in its death. Guess what? Every one of us have responsibility And this lamb they were looking at in its death. Our sin. And so let me move from that. I say this lamb wasn't born to be observed. This lamb was born with a purpose, and that purpose was to die that they might be saved. Not only if you see there, but you look in Scripture a little farther. The Bible tells us that you take of it. He said, "I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt." Verse 12. "Man and beast, I'm going to execute judgment. I am the Lord. But the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood," what? They put the blood upon the mantle, upon the two side posts. And when he passed through and he saw the blood, what? They were saved. They wouldn't be judged. Why? Because they're behind the blood. They're safe. Death would not come. Let me just tell you something. This lamb was to be slain. That was his purpose. But understand this above everything else, that this was a saving lamb. These were shepherds. They might not have known about a lot of things. They may not have known about the politics of the Sanhedrin. They may not knew all the ceremonial and ritualistic things that the Pharisees added to the law. They may not understood that in one iota. But listen to me. There's one thing they understood, and that was lambs. They understood that. And so here's what you find. They come and they see the lamb. They see it. Look back in Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2. Turn there with me again. Luke 2. I'm headed there. A little slow. Luke chapter 2. I want you to understand this. There was a proclamation about the Lamb. So these men, Luke chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And when they had seen it," I like that. Huh? How many times do we talk about it? Huh? How many times do we talk about it? The shepherd. And the Bible said, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph," verse 16, "and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it," right? What? The lamb. "When they had seen it," oh, that's good stuff. "When they seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they all heard it and wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Now, the Bible tells us Mary kept those things in her heart and she pondered them. "But the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them." I want you to understand, the first thing did, they responded to the message. There was an announcement. He is the Lamb of God. Here is the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, has been born. They responded to this message. They obeyed and did what the angels told them to do. He said, "Ye shall find." This is a sign. "Ye shall find it." It wasn't a suggestion for them to find. They were being told to go see Him. Amen. Let me tell you something about the gospel. It's not a suggestion for you to consider. It's a command that you should obey. You're commanded to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the problem is this world today, everybody thinks, "Well, you know what? That sounds like a pretty good idea. I might want to skip hell." I'm going to tell you what, I'll promise you this. If you don't repent and you don't believe, you will go to hell. It ain't a suggestion. They responded by obedience. You know what they did when they got there and they saw it? The Bible says they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They retold everything that the angels have said and what they knew and what they understand. And the Bible tells us the very last verse as you read, when they left there, they left rejoicing. Now why was it angels? Why was it these shepherds that were here? I done told you a little bit, but think about this. Who could appraise the value and the worth of this lamb like shepherds? Especially shepherds that were raising lambs to be offered as a sacrifice. Who could appreciate the beauty and the loveliness of this lamb like shepherds? You know, newborn babies, my wife will kill me. People say, "Oh, look how cute they are." And they're newborn, they just look like babies. To me, I know. Sorry. And a lot of men are agreeing with me, but they're chicken. Right? Now they get cuter. In a few weeks, you're like, "Oh man, they're cute." But I remember my nephew, everybody talking about how cute he was, and I looked at that kid, and my sister struggled when he was born, and they had to use that suction thing, and them things reaching and grabbing by the head. He come out, looked like he'd been fighting Mike Tyson. His head was lopsided and purple, and I was like, whoa. Well, nothing cute. I see my baby picture. Nothing cute there. My sister invited everybody, our friends over to meet her brother. Why? Because I was the ugliest baby in the world. Can you believe that? That's the household I grew up in. Amen. Amen. I better keep moving. But I tell you what, mamas can look down real quick and say, oh, it looks like this. I'm talking a day old, and they can tell you it looks like, and it's got these features, and it's got this, look, this baby. Oh, it's so cute. You know why? Because they appreciate babies. They appreciate babies. And they know the value, and they look and the worth. And our daddies, we love them, but we're not concerned so much about what they look like. We know they're going to get better looking. Amen? We know it. But these shepherds appreciated, they could appraise the value of this thing. They could appreciate the beauty and the loveliness of a lamb. These shepherds could analyze the nature and the pedigree of this lamb. They knew the reason they were raising these lambs. They were looking ahead to one day that they would be a permanent payment for sin. They were looking forward to that day, a promise, a covenant promise that one day God would come and eradicate sin. And so they could look at this and realize of the situation, his helplessness. He looked like a helpless lamb. They see him in his humility like a lamb that had no strength, no power. They see him in that situation. And you know what? They see the value of this lamb and what his purpose was. They could ascertain the qualifications and the qualities that was needed to be heaven's lamb. And by the announcement of the angelic host and what they saw when they got there, they could leave. And what they saw when they saw it, they left rejoicing. Amen. Telling everybody the news that they heard. Why was that? Why could that? Because I want you to understand, he was heaven's lamb. He was the single lamb. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says that Christ is our Passover sacrificed for us. You read in John 1:29, what did John the Baptist say? Behold the Lamb of God. It takes away the sin of the world. You know what Revelation's about? I'll tell you what it is. It's about the triumph of who? The Lamb. Read it over and over. Triumph of the Lamb. Revelation 5. When no man was found worthy, deemed worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof. You know, the angel spoke to John and said, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And when John turned around, guess what he saw? He saw the Lamb that had been slain. And you find everybody, every being in heaven, worship that Lamb. Why? Because he's worthy. He understood the worthiness of this one single special lamb. His uniqueness, born of a virgin. He's spotless. He's absent of a wicked, sinful nature. Let me just say something. He was the single Lamb of God that we see over and over again, though thousands would be killed in Exodus 12, and thousands would be killed every year the Passover came. Every single one, generation after generation, pointed to him. Amen. And by the way, of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands, none of them could come close to meeting the demands of a holy God. Only this lamb, because he's special. He was to be a slain lamb. We see him in Isaiah 53, that he is one. You can't start reading Isaiah. It's hard to read a verse or two of Isaiah 53. I encourage you to read it, but he was the lamb that was led to the slaughter. And the Bible tells us, as you read in Revelation 17, it's the Lamb that overcomes the beast. You read in Revelation, it's the those whose names in Revelation 21 who are written in the Lamb's book of life has entrance into heaven. You say, Brother Graham, what are you saying? We overcome by the Lamb. Why? Because he was a slain lamb. He is a saving lamb. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin, through his blood. Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He said, Brother Grant, so what are you saying to me? I'm saying this tonight. If you're here and you're lost, you've seen Revelation. very similar to what the angel seen. So I ain't seen angelic hosts, and you're not glowing, and I'm not terrified. But I'll tell you this, you've heard the message that Jesus Christ, the Savior of all the earth, has been born. And He was born for you. You receive this. And you say, what should I do? You should respond just as those shepherds did. By obedience and faith, believing to the salvation of your soul. And let me tell you something that we're to do. What's amazing to me when we look at this, that this passage is, how did they respond? I'll tell you how they responded. They retold the message. Everywhere they went, they left retelling the message. Tell them what they've seen. Not only what they've seen, what they knew. Let me tell you, they didn't have a theological degree, but they told them what they knew. You know what we need to do? We need to tell people what we know about Jesus. Everywhere we go, we should be so enamored, so infatuated, so amazed at who He is. And I'm not just talking about in December, and I'm not just talking about when Easter rolls around. I'm talking about every single day. Because God has come to our lowest state and spoke to us, and the cords of love drawled us to Him. And I'll tell you another thing that they did. They left rejoicing. How we ought to rejoice because of what God's done for us. We ought to rejoice when we sing. We ought to rejoice when we read the Scriptures. I believe our joy ought to be full because of what He has done, what He has accomplished. I'm going to tell you, He is the Lamb of God. He was it. And they recognize it. Do you recognize Him as it today? He is it when it comes to salvation. He is the only way. He is the only Lamb. He's the only way you can be saved is to come through Him. If you're not saved tonight, I'd like you to be saved. If you are saved, you'd be telling people, be rejoicing in what you do know. Or Father, I thank You for the Word of God tonight. I pray that You would stir our hearts and stir our spirits. And I speak of that even as our emotions. God, our emotions need to be stirred. God, I believe that if we've been saved and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we should be stirred. And I pray, God, tonight, if there's one here that does not know You, and You're speaking to them and telling them that they need the Lamb of God, may they obey. May they turn from their sins. May they turn from the condition they're in. God, may they understand that they're under a heavy weight of judgment, that it's not about whether their works are going to outweigh their good. They are already condemned according to John chapter 3. God, they need to be saved. And Father, You loved them so much, You sent Jesus here in this world to die on an old rugged cross, that they repent and they would believe in Him, the Lamb, they can be saved. I pray tonight would be the night that they turn from sin, turn to You and say, Lord, receive me. God, be merciful to me and save me. I prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.